Joining me now on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, which covers politics, business, and much more for the entire listening area. Hello.
Well, hello. You do that. You sound much better than Kyle.
Well, we won't
now,
tell him.
Now Kyle's going to give me grief when he returns.
Well, we won't tell him.
But I have no sympathy for someone who gets to travel with the Razorbacks and watch him play baseball.
Exactly. He has such a tough life. So tough. Well, in his absence, I'm happy that you're still here to talk to me a little bit about some of the stories you guys published on the City Wire this week. One of the stories on Whirlpool, that poor company, is coming up in your news.
Right. You know, Whirlpool, of course, they closed the plant back in June. I remember at one time it employed about 4,500 people in the Fort Smith area.
Mm.
But in June of last year, it closed. And when you close a plant, obviously there are a lot of things to remediate. One of those are the pollution. And this has been an interesting development. Early February meeting, Whirlpool and their attorneys came to the Fort Smith Board of Directors during a study session and said, look, we want to pass this ordinance that bans groundwater or water well digging in this certain area near the plant because there's this chemical called TCE, which is a pretty nasty little chemical. It's in the groundwater. Whirlpool said it's no big deal and it's not spreading, that type of thing. Well, turns out there was a January 22nd letter, which was before the February meeting, in which some of the Whirlpool claims aren't necessarily true about the pollution and that type of thing. And so there are some members of the Fort Smith Board of Directors who aren't happy. They feel like Whirlpool has lied to them.
Mm-hmm.
About the extent of the pollution and how to mitigate pollution. You know, Fort Smith City Administrator Ray Gossick took somewhat of a softer tone, as we said, and he said, you know, he's trying to play the good cop in this, but it just on the surface, no pun intended, but on the surface, it looks like Whirlpool was saying one thing at this February meeting, knowing that something else could be true. Now, there'll be future sessions on this, and we had difficulty getting any comment out of Whirlpool, so it'll be interesting to see what they say publicly at the next board meeting.
Has there been any sort of timeline put on how long, when something like this happens, like you said, you have to clean up some of the pollution that's left behind? Did they say anything about how long they expect that to take? I mean, now that obviously may have changed, but
you ask a great question, and that is one of several questions that a lot of people would like to know, and I think that's part of the problem. You know, what are the, you know, Whirlpool said we've tried all the ways to mitigate this and, you know, and remove this, but none of them work, so now we need this ban. Well, this letter from the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality said, well, there are a couple more options left. So it was even untrue to some extent what Whirlpool said about they had gone through all the options. So your question is one of several that I suspect will be asked and hopefully answered in the next few weeks or months.
Another story you guys had this week had to do with some trouble that Tyson had been having.
Well, Tyson Foods, yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, people forget, you know, Tyson is doing very well now, and they're performing well in what is a tough market in terms of, consumer spending, in terms of high costs for their commodities, for their feed products. But we go back to 2008, which maybe 4 years ago or more, but it's not that long in corporate history. They were in a $1.8 billion hole, so to speak. Their credit rating was tanking. It was looking tough for the company, but Donnie Smith, their CEO now, who took over in January 2009, spoke recently to a group there in Northwest Arkansas. And as I said, he was pretty candid about the troubles they were in and talked about how that they had to get back on focused. And he told the crowd that, you know, part of the focus that they used, that he used, was making the main thing, which is, you know, they, at the end of the day, they sell, you know, beef, pork, and chicken, and let's get back and focus on that. And he talked about how they had to improve their culture and provide clarity and communication to at all levels of the company. But it's just interesting story. It's a good read for anyone who's interested in the corporate world in Northwest Arkansas about what he has to say about turning a business around, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, meat production, processing, and distribution companies in the world.
Another big company in Northwest Arkansas, of course, Walmart. And on Wednesday, there was a memo sent out that Tom Mars will be exiting next month.
Right. Well, it was an internal memo. I don't think they wanted it sent out. But
sure.
Yes, Tom Mars, and he's Executive Vice President, Chief Administrative Officer. And it's interesting. We have to be careful here. But he has been involved and has been tied to some of these bribery allegations regarding, Mexico and how they were those stores were built out so quick there in Mexico. And, he's tied to this. And there's been some wonderment, so to speak, if heads roll within Walmart for those that may have been tied to this, some of the alleged robbery, when will that start and who will it be? Now, like I said, we have to be careful with this, but it's there is a link. We don't know the extent to the link, but it's interesting to see Mars, who was pretty well connected, pretty high up in the company, had exited. And there was not a lot of Walmart didn't put out a statement fully explaining, is it just a normal retirement? Is he did he just leave for other opportunities or what? So that not knowing creates the mystery.
Sure. And as you noted, it's an internal memo that the City Wire was able to obtain, but Walmart has not publicly, or they have publicly declined to comment. So
right.
Lots of questions.
Yes. And so we'll see. I suspect that over the next 6 to 9 months, we're going to see more. We may see a few more similar departures where it's Walmart will want it to be as quiet as possible.
Well, we'll keep our eyes open for that story. And a little bit of good news, bad news. Allen's Canning moving jobs from Van Buren to Siloam Springs.
Yes, and that's perfect. It is a good news, bad news. It's bad news for the Van Buren area, for the Fort Smith region, which has struggled anyway with employment issues. But Allen's is moving roughly 150 jobs. Let me say there are roughly 150 jobs that are leaving Van Buren as part of their production operation there, and they're consolidating that operation there at their facility in Siloam Springs. We don't know how many of those jobs will be added in Siloam Springs. I mean, will that consolidation require 25, 50, or all 150 new? We don't know, but as we note in our story, it's not going to help the Northwest or the Fort Smith area, which has seen its workforce, the workforce size and the number of employed decline. For example, December was the 48th consecutive month that the metro jobless rate in the Fort Smith region has been at or above 7%, and that's a rough number. But it's the opposite in Northwest Arkansas. It's one of the top performing metro areas in the country. The December jobless rate there was 5.1%. It was below the 5.7% in December 2011. The workforce size continues to grow. The number of employed continues to grow. For example, in December, there were 4,700 more jobs in Northwest Arkansas than there were in December 2011. So it's kind of feast or famine right now, a feast and famine for the two regions.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, which covers politics, business, and much more for the entire listening area. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, we pay tribute to a man we lost last week, Magic Slim. We also have Curtis Salgado, Imelda May, Peter Karp, R.J. Michaud, and a few others. That's the Generic Blues Show, every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.